Welcome to the Leisureman Podcast, a Sunday night radio show. I'm Paul Pabst. He's Andrew Perloff. We got a lot coming up tonight. We're going to talk a little about college football, the road trip this weekend up to BC. We're going to do the footballist show later, which was hot and heavy, a little John Gruden stuff in there.
Yeah, I love that story. I think that we have like sort of a new ranking of power. We have new powers. I don't know. How do you describe it, Paul? It's just like a feeling like there's a bunch of new teams that we have to watch.
And you're going to categorize them who's most powerful to least powerful.
We are?
Well, that's an invention we should try.
Yeah. So you're saying you take all 32 teams and you rank them according to how powerful you think they are?
Right. And you do it every week, and then you change it every week depending on the weekend's games, even though a team that was one last week could be six. How did they go so far so fast? No one's done this in
media. I can't believe this. I'm shocked no one's ever tried this before.
We're going to talk a lot of Baker Mayfield tonight. We're going to talk a lot of Josh Rosen tonight. More of their pro prospects than their college days.
Yeah, it's on, man. It is. You know I love draft season more than everything. I'm declaring it starts today.
And you've got a new guy you like. You got a guy out of Virginia.
You know, I love those third, fourth round picks. Kurt Benkert, I believe. I have no idea how you pronounce his name. I've been calling him the guy out of Virginia.
You pronounce Kurt right?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, here it comes, the Leisureman Podcast. I can always tell when you're a little distracted in hour one because you're grinding on your daily fantasy team.
I need the Broncos to somehow pick off my guy, Andy Dalton. So the Broncos are losing 13-10 to the Bengals. This has been a really lame game.
Dalton's usually good for a pick.
He's hot and cold. He has games where he'll throw a bunch and then he'll throw none. Oh, now,
I have a question here. You picked against your guy in daily fantasy?
Oh, yeah. I'll pick against anybody. I'd pick against my own mother if I could. Now, what happened to the Broncos? Here's my question. The Broncos are at home. What happened to that vaunted Broncos defense? It's like they've disappeared off the face of the earth.
And generally, they have most of the same players. Like Derek Wolfe, Tlaib.
They let 50 points to the Eagles. Exactly. Wolfe's making tackles. Von Miller's unstoppable.
I saw Derek Wolfe, the, I guess you'd say, very good defensive lineman for the Broncos last week. He goes, it's frustrating because I have no idea what's going on here. I have no idea why we're not stopping teams. He goes, that's the frustrating part. And he seemed bewildered.
He should be bewildered because he needs to do something here. Somebody needs to get a sack, give me something. But these late games have kind of stunk. You know what's interesting, Paul? I sent out a tweet yesterday. It got a lot of reaction.
Go ahead.
Yesterday was a lame college football day.
Sure it was. You're
there was right. Not a lot of matchups. Michigan-Wisconsin was sort of the game everyone was looking at. So I asked people, the college is better than the NFL crowd. What are you going to say on a day like this where there's really nothing going on? Now, the thing is, the NFL day was like backup QB Palooza was really no better, so far at least.
Well, with the NFL, there would never be matchups as extreme as Alabama hosting Mercer, a mid-level 1AA school who could barely get the snap off against Alabama. I mean, Alabama, it's almost unfair physically what's going on there. It's not even close. There are 1AA teams that can compete with Alabama and put up a good first quarter, second quarter. Clemson versus the Citadel, 61-3.
Yeah, yeah. No, I knew it was a bet. But even the ranked games, like, here's the problem. Okay, everyone says college is so excited. You're going to see five exciting endings. But why does everyone discount all the Alabama games? And, like, why do you discount the 30 bad games for every three good games?
Because it's easier to ignore bad games and focus on the four great endings of college football that are just kind of silly, crazy endings. Because you have more odds. We talked about this before. There's more odds of great endings in college football because there's three times the amount of games.
Right, but you're ignoring how many bad games there are, and also a lot of those games are meaningless. And by the way,
because most people don't think an argument through in sports media, and they won't. They'll just say, "Which is better, college or pro?" And
yeah, but you're a college is better than pro. I've heard you say that exact word 50 times.
I find the Saturday college football viewing experience way better than the Sunday NFL experience because of the unlimited amount of games with college football. And the limited amount of games with the NFL.
I like that. That's at least a sound reason.
Right.
Also, too, I think you bring some history to the programs. Like, you've decided, I like this program for whatever reason. I used to root for them. I like this. You need something. You need a little juice.
I picked a handful of, like, small teams that I root for. I went, as we do, how was your weekend? I went and saw Harvard versus Yale. And I've been a Yale season ticket holder since 2002. You know, if you live in a small area and you have a small college football team, I try to support it. So when I moved to New Haven, Connecticut, I started going to Yale games. I mean, the building holds 70,000. There's usually about 10 to 20,000 in the building. I think there was over 50,000 in the building on Saturday for Yale trying to get their first Ivy League title all to themselves since 1980. They smoked Harvard, which is usually a good team. It was a fun day. It was an exciting, fun day. And then I went up took a party bus up to BC and went to see Boston College hosting UConn, which was not a great game.
But it was at Fenway,
It was at Fenway Park. And the coolest part about it, I went with my wife, and my wife and I haven't gone to that many sporting events together. A lot of college football, some pro. We've been to a Cubs game together. She was enthralled by Fenway Park. She goes, it's like a movie set.
Yeah.
She was, and she's like, this is where they filmed The Town. And it's a shootout scene. And
yeah, sure.
But she was walking around. She goes, this looks like 1920 in here.
How come you never think your wife's from this area? She'd never been to Fenway.
Her dad liked the St. Louis Cardinals. She's never had a
really?
Dad.
How'd that happen?
Don't know. But she was walking around Fenway. She's like, let's look at this. And she was really enthralled. She had a couple beers in her. But she was just blown away by how cool Fenway looked inside. It was really neat.
How much access did you get to the stadium? You said there were about 30K in the crowd?
Yeah, it was pretty good-sized crowd.
You could just walk wherever you wanted, though.
No, but...
Not like Yale.
We walked around the underneath area of the building before we went upstairs, and we got to see
quite a bit
of it.
Oh, yeah.
She loved the neighborhood around there, the food, there's street vendors. It's almost a tailgate atmosphere at Fenway.
I love Fenway. I think it's the best baseball. I mean, you took me to Wrigley once. That was super cool.
They're very similar.
They're very similar, but I think the sort of quirks of Fenway give it a little edge. The Green Monster, once you're in the stadium, Wrigley's cool, but it's kind of just a round baseball stadium.
It's
Fenway's
a coin
ridiculous.
Flip, because Wrigley does have the ivy and the wooden scoreboard that's still done by hand, and the old-time neighborhood with brownstones that look like they're from the 1920s. So you have that. The neighborhood around Fenway is much more modernized these days. There's a lot of new mid-rise buildings, condos, yuppies, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have a place to park for Fenway. There's a huge museum. Huge art museum. No, I'll tell you. There's a huge art museum, which is really awesome. You can park there for free and walk over. Because parking's a problem, but you were on a bus.
How can you park free at an art museum? You don't have to go in and buy a ticket?
Because our family's members, my in-laws.
So you could park free, not we can park free.
Yeah, that's why I'm not afraid to give it away. But, I can't give you that, though, because you're going to have bias towards Wrigleyville. If we're getting,
I'm trying to be fair. I think Fenway is actually...
All right, what's your third baseball stadium that you've been to? Yankee?
I'll tell you, believe it or not, I really enjoyed going to a Dodgers game. I like the scenery around there.
Yeah.
The stadium is nothing special. Boy.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. But Fenway's really good upkeep. They embrace a lot of history. If you walk through the stadium, there's lots of displays and things to show your kids.
Yeah, remember we did a behind-the-scenes tour. That was awesome.
It was really cool. Yeah,
Where did that air, by the way?
It never aired. We did Fenway East for NBC Sports, and it's like the second episode of Barstool Van Talk. It's just in the ether.
Yeah, we should throw that out there sometime.
We should put that out there.
In the middle of winter would be great.
I'm Paul Papps. He's Andrew Perloff. We're the Liegeman at NBC Sports Radio. It's time for the Footballist Show. Perloff, we're unshowered. We're ready to go. What do you have?
Okay. I'm going to play a new game. It's called Should I Stay or Should I Go?
Oh, a little old school 80s music.
Yeah. You could...
Clash.
You know, there's a song that would be perfect for this. We don't have the rights to it.
Oh.
You can't even sing it. We don't have the rights for that. Okay. Let's start with the big game of the weekend, UCLA-USC, the two quarterbacks. If you're Josh Rosen, do you consider staying at UCLA?
Josh Rosen... I would guarantee that Josh Rosen goes pro this year, despite what anyone in the media says. That guy is built for the NFL. I mean, personality-wise, he wants to get paid. No doubt, I think he's gone. Sam Darnold, I kind of believe that he might stay because his year was really cooled off.
It kind of goes one at a time. Should I stay or should I go? You can't say that Sam Darnold
Josh Rosen
in the Josh Rosen
should
captain.
Go. And will go.
Yeah, now that Moore is gone, forget.
What do you think?
Oh, the second Moore was fired, that was goodbye to Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold, stay or go? If I made you bet the tip of your pinky on it.
I would, I bet he stays, he should go. You can't pass. You could only go down in the draft if you stay.
I'm like you, I'm very undecided on this. I say he goes. Because I still think he's going to go high, even though his numbers aren't good. Okay, Saquon Barkley, Penn State.
He should not only go, he should not play in the... Well, he's going to play in the bowl game, right?
Yeah, so he's going to play in the bowl game, breaking the trend of recent high-pick running backs like Fournette and McCaffrey last year did not go. What do you think of that?
I could see why he's doing it. It's a good PR move. I'm sure he and his future agent have already talked about this. I'm sure he has an agent already.
So you're saying like teams will look at this and say, that guy loves football.
Well... I don't think it matters either way now. I think the Christian McCaffrey proved that it doesn't matter. Leonard Fournette proved that it doesn't matter. Jake Butt, the tight end for Michigan last year, he got hurt and it cost him. So I don't think there's any stigma around it either way anymore.
Okay, and Josh Allen, Wyoming quarterback, didn't play this weekend, hurt. I think he's an underclassman still. He's got to go out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anything's going to change.
People. What has he got to prove?
Wyoming football isn't going to be put on national TV. He could throw for 1,000 touchdowns next year. He is actually quite hot now, I think, still.
Yeah, it's funny. And not, you know what? The best thing for him to do? Pull a Carson Wentz. Just disappear.
All right, I got a bunch. You got any more stories?
That's the should I stay or should I go? Because okay, if it's not a skill position, who cares?
Should I stay or should I go? The Skycam taking over NFL coverage in the past couple weeks.
I want hybrid. I don't know why it has to be either all or nothing, because they maybe went a little too far on NBC on Thursday night.
Uh-oh.
I liked it. I would say 10% less and go almost 50-50 Skycam regular. But in general, I'm a big fan. You?
Do you think there's going to be games that are exclusively Skycam and just a little bit of the other? The normal, I guess, traditional cam.
So what do you mean games? Like some games are going to have all Skycam, some are not? They're going to, how do you decide?
Well, it seems like the past few NFL games on NBC have been Skycam heavy.
Right. Ever since that fog bowl between Atlanta and New England, when they started using it, they liked it. So it's an NBC thing. You know, maybe you'll have a choice. Maybe it'll be an interactive thing.
I guess, but if you have one channel, if everybody, you know, NBC obviously wants you to watch NBC, they don't want you switching to other channels. I don't think you're going to have the ability for a couple of years to change your feed on your main TV.
Okay. Next segment. Did this team get lucky? This is a really...
Ooh,
New Orleans beat Washington. They came back out of nowhere from a huge deficit, won 34-31 in overtime. Was that a lucky win?
I will say no. I actually think Washington was lucky to be in that game because they're not as good of a team.
In that game, they were up by 20 points. They outplayed them the entire game.
But eventually a team like Washington shows who they are. We are what they thought they were. They are what they thought I am. Okay. I'm not good with syntax.
Okay. Was this team lucky? Detroit Lions beat the Chicago Bears 27-24. It was as ugly as it sounds.
Yes.
Was that sort of a lucky win, or just does a good team find a way to win? Which category is that?
The Bears shouldn't be in that game, and they found a way to lose it to help out the Lions. How about you?
All right. Tampa Bay. Yeah, I think that was... that was lucky. But you're not going to lose that game. Tampa Bay beat Miami 30-20 in a game I don't think a lot of people watched. Jay Cutler got knocked out. Ryan Fitzpatrick won. Is Tampa Bay just lucky to face a really down Dolphins team, or are the Bucs improving a little bit?
I don't know if I'd rather face Jay Cutler or Matt Moore.
I know. are they lucky that Jay Cutler went down? That's the question.
Yeah. Man, Jay Cutler, why'd he come back? I guess $10 million and playing in Miami.
And one last game. Baltimore beat Green Bay 23-0. Man, talk about a team that has disappeared. The Green Bay Packers getting shut out. That never happens.
Can you think of a player whose aura has been boosted more from not being on the field than Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe Peyton Manning in that year that Curtis Painter played. That's the only comparison I can think
of. Scalding hot take. All right, I got a couple things. I think I'm enjoying the NFL's overtime system. I think it's generally fair. I don't know if there's a better system out there, but you have to get a touchdown, and you get the ball first, so you have first crack at it. And if you don't, you only need a field goal. It's convoluted, but it seems generally fair, and I think I like it.
What do you think if they limit it to 10 minutes this year, so there's a rush? You're more likely to have a tie. It used to be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was watching the Chiefs-Giants, and all of a sudden, there's 2 minutes left in this game.
Right. It feels a little more tense. I watched a few overtime games with some bad teams, but I think it's working.
I do, too. Okay, let me throw
one positive NFL talk.
Here's a positive one. I have a dark horse MVP candidate that I threw out earlier in the show.
Give me a hint.
Adam Thielen. I'm just saying, Adam Thielen of the Vikings is now second in the NFL in receiving yards with 916. First is Antonio Brown. But we know Antonio Brown is awesome. We had no idea Adam Thielen is awesome.
Oh, I'm a Thielenist.
But you weren't. Before this year, you were a Thielenist?
Yeah.
So the fact that we didn't know this guy and he came out of Mankato State, how much credit does he get in the MVP race because of that?
And you give him a boost because he's doing it without a top-flight quarterback.
Well, we love Case Keenum, but I do agree
right.
with that. Man, that guy catches everything. After the catch, he's unstoppable. How is he doing this? Who is this guy? He grew up, by the way, guess who his idols were?
Fred Biletnikoff.
No, yeah, no. You would think white on white
Nordic
idols.
Name Biletnikoff.
So he grew up a monster Randy Moss and Chris Carter fan. Models his game after Randy Moss.
Wow, I watched Rand University. By the way, I watched the 30 for 30 on Moss. I could watch that all day.
Yeah, and go ahead and say it. Adam Thielen does not necessarily remind you of a Randy Moss type.
Sure, he does. He's explosive and he plays for the Vikings.
Got it.
No other subtext there. All right, let me see what else I got. Oh, the best moment in sports this weekend. The rumors around John Gruden going to either Tennessee or to Tampa.
Yes.
I love college football, and I love it even more because of this. There's been sightings of John Gruden in the Tennessee area, and all of a sudden this restaurant called Calhoun's, a rib place down in Tennessee, tweets out, sources tell us that John Gruden is having dinner with Peyton Manning here at our restaurant tonight. people went crazy, truly crazy, like running around. I saw people running with their hands like this, and down in Tennessee, Vols fans. Then it turns out it's a mistake. Yeah. Calhoun's official Twitter account sends, "We'd like to take a moment to clear things up as well as apologize. We got excited like everyone. Please read."
So would you think it was a medium height guy with blonde hair and a very, very tall guy with brown hair? Is that what happened?
Who would think that you'd see that down in Tennessee? Final word. Tonight we received word that from our management team that John Gruden was dining at a restaurant with Peyton Manning. We got excited. We posted something about it. Afterwards, a staff member notified us that they weren't so sure it was him. This is all we know at this moment. We apologize for the misunderstanding. It was never our intention to spread rumors. It was never your intention to spread false rumors. We are proud of our relationship, blah, 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 blah. I love it. I think that employee should get a raise. They made themselves the most famous restaurant in the world for a day.
Yeah. And by the way, man, John Gruden should go to Tennessee. I know you think he should stay in that cushy gig at Monday Night Football, but look how excited they were, and it wasn't even him. That would be so exciting if he took over that job.
Look, I would love to see him coaching a team. I think those press conferences would be fantastic. That guy's just getting the ball down the field. That's all he's doing.
Okay, I got a hot take here, Paul.
Okay, I got one, too.
Okay, I'm going to go. Looking back on it now, I don't think the Bills should have started Nathan Peterman this week. 6 for 14, 66 yards.
So you're saying based on hindsight.
Yeah, I didn't see it before, but those five picks probably didn't help the team get a W. They lost. The Buffalo Bills lost big 54-24.
Okay.
Just wanted to throw that out.
I got a hot take. Somebody is going to leave Baker Mayfield off his Heisman ballot based off what he did this weekend. I don't think they should, but somebody will, because they want to get some notoriety. Mark it down. Some media member will leave Baker Mayfield off their Heisman Trophy ballot for this weekend.
Well, are they allowed to then say they left him off?
They sure can if they want to.
That's may a lose great move, by the way. I would, if I was voting and I don't have a vote, I would do that. Not that I think Baker Mayfield should be off it. It's a great way to get press. But we're coming off a semi-interesting college football Saturday. Now, the games weren't great.
Right.
I was hoping that Michigan-Wisconsin would be better, but Michigan just simply blew it with some mistakes in the first half. But there's some interesting coaching news, Paul. UCLA fired Jim Mora after a close loss to USC, and a lot of people said, why now?
Well, why now is exactly the topic there, because UCLA football is not awful. They have a 5-6 season with Josh Rosen, who's supposed to be their star quarterback. Jim Mora, I think, suffered from, I think they've seen all his best. They may think we've seen his best. It is hiring time now in college football. You want to be first to have your job open. Tennessee is open. There's already lots of rumors about that job. Florida's open. Chip Kelly's a hot name. John Gruden is a name that I don't know if should be hot, because I think he's just playing for more money out of his media job.
That's going to happen every year, right?
But Jim Mora gets fired, and they figure if we do it now, it's like this job is open. We put it out there. It's the official announcement that the job is open at UCLA. Jim Mora doesn't get the rest of the season like he should have. You want to get the top candidate as fast as you can, and UCLA announced the job opening basically a month early.
Okay, so that's why it wasn't like you're such a bad coach that you're embarrassing us at all. Nothing like that.
No, he could win his next couple games. You know, he could win another game. I mean, they could have beat USC this week. And I think he was – the situation is, I always wonder if they have a deal pending with one of these coaches. If you're going to fire Jim Mora, do you know that you have one of your guys?
And you're worried that a better offer will come along if you don't sort of move forward on that.
Right, because what if Jim Mora beats USC 28-7? How fireable is he? But if you say, like, to Chip Kelly's people, hey, UCLA, we want you. We'll give you what you want. Third-party, fourth-party dealings with his agent, so there's no quid pro quo. And then all of a sudden, there's the opening. National TV, USC beats UCLA. Now we could fire Jim Mora. We're going to catch a little heat because he made the program nice. He's definitely not embarrassing.
Yeah, but the funny thing about UCLA is, and Jim Mora told us this on Dan Patrick's show, or no, actually, I don't know if it was more, but they famously don't spend a lot on that program.
It was Rick Neuheisel, their former coach, told us that.
So, yeah, and you could just tell they're not all in on football.
I wonder if they think UCLA football, walk around this campus, it's like heaven out here, and that's enough. Is California enough to sell a recruit, or do you need a locker room that looks like Oregon's or Texas?
Or USC. I think USC seems like they spend a lot on their program.
Yes.
So I think you got to get serious, because they are definitely, aren't they the little brother in that relationship?
Definitely. They've never really, since the early 80s when they had a few good players, 70s and 80s, there were some great UCLA players, but they've always been just a tick below the national title contending teams over the past 20 years.
Yeah, they feel like they're sort of a JV to USC.
Okay.
I mean, come on. Maybe that's too harsh, but You know, then they got obviously Troy Aikman.
They've never been as culturally relevant as USC football. USC football was one of the most popular sports teams in our country,
yes,
pro or college, when the liner Reggie Bush, Lendale White days.
Yeah, actually, when we were a kid, UCLA was actually in the title picture.
Oh, sure.
Much more often. Now they're not. So I'm not sure what happens with that program.
How do you think this spills over to the NFL? Is there an NFL job opening you expect?
Oh, there's tons. It's a huge offseason.
Are there any no-doubters?
Hugh Jackson is pretty much, in Cleveland, is considered to be a dead man walking. Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, big trouble. Because he's been in big trouble for like 3 years now. And Ben McAdoo with the Giants, although they won today, that's been very bad. A lot of people, I'm just looking at a list now, Marvin Lewis is definitely, seems to be done in Cincinnati. They're 4-6 if he gets to 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Cutter has been a big letdown in Tampa Bay. They let Lovie Smith go for him. Hasn't worked out. Some people think John Fox, that could go either way.
Yeah, no one in Chicago is going to be bothered either way on that one.
But that's guys we know. Now, you know how the NFL works. Then three or four more owners will say, you know what, I could be better. Like Denver, for example, I know he's only in his first year, but they could move on from Vance Joseph. It never seems early. Every year there's a guy who'll get fired in his first year.
I don't see a college name that's a real big one for the pros.
Yeah, is there anybody who'd leave their program? Saban's obviously not going anywhere.
No, he's locked.
Dabo Sweeney's not going anywhere, is he?
No, I think Dabo Sweeney would like to go back to Alabama someday.
Yeah, I know. Same like Jimbo Fisher, too. All the great coaches want to go back there. Remember Kevin Sumlin, for example, was hot like 4 or 5 years ago. Now he's on the hot seat, ironically.
Yeah.
Is there a Kevin Sumlin or a young guy who's like so hot that he could be in the NFL picture?
Well, it's weird. PJ Fleck was super hot last year at Western Michigan, and he took the Minnesota job.
Yeah.
Which is a nice job. It's Big Ten, and he can raise them up because they've always been middling team. But there's not that hot young guy, I don't think. And Lane Kiffin, I think, is toxic for the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. After the Raiders and just really what he's done in college. I love this rumor, by the way, and it's been out there a lot. It's been reported on that Auburn coach Gus Malzahn would be interested in Arkansas. Now, he was an Arkansas high school coach, was under Petrino at Arkansas a little bit.
And he coached Arkansas State for a while when he didn't get the Arkansas job.
Exactly.
Or the Auburn job years ago.
Yes. And now there's rumors that Arkansas is going to throw a truckload of money at him, which would be wild. Why would you leave Auburn, which seems like college football paradise to me?
I wonder if some people just want to go back to their hometown team and raise them up.
Yeah.
And it beats money. Because Gus Malzahn's got to have dough.
Yeah, I don't have a real sense of Gus Malzahn as a person. He doesn't seem like a big personality.
We've seen a few interviews with him. He seems a very likable guy. He doesn't play with the media too much. He's kind of a straight shooter.
Right, he doesn't have an aura of a Nick Saban, right?
He's a very creative offensive guy. Yeah. I used to watch Arkansas State when he was coaching, and he was so creative.
Oh, by the way, I don't think we're going to talk before. How awesome is next weekend's of college football going to be? I'm so excited for Alabama-Auburn because Jarrett Stidham is the Leisureman quarterback of the Auburn quarterback that we met a long time ago. Dude, I would love for Auburn. I want chaos. That's why, by the way, I was rooting for Michigan yesterday. I'm going to admit it because I wanted to see what would happen if Wisconsin lost. It would just be a total. Do you expect a little bit of wildness next week?
Well, with Auburn, I mean, Auburn's now threatening again. Auburn is very hot.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be interesting to see. Because that's a game, that's a national game. If you're a casual college football fan, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, they'll watch that one with me, and they don't even like college football.
Do you remember the pick six? What did they call it? What's the kick six?
The kick six, Chris Davis.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were when it was Thanksgiving weekend 2 years ago?
It's
or
funny
3 years
you say
ago?
That. I was sitting in Vermont watching, and he caught it. And what happened was when he's returning the kick 100-plus yards, he was being chased by a bunch of big offensive linemen on the special teams who aren't good at tackling and definitely aren't good at running. And a play seemed to take 20 seconds. I would love to know actual from snap to touchdown how long that play took. It's one of the great plays in sports history.
Yeah, I was in my parents' living room for Thanksgiving weekend, and I remember exactly what the light was like, the end of day. Oh, that was awesome.
Here's the top 25 next week. Keep an eye on Miami at Pittsburgh. 4-7 Pittsburgh. I will not sleep on Pitt in that game.
Nathan Peterman might have led Pitt, but I don't think that's happening.
Georgia Tech, Ohio State, Michigan, which is lightly relevant, a little less relevant than you thought it would be. Alabama, Auburn. Wisconsin at Minnesota. I'm not going to sleep on that one either. I am going to keep an eye on that one.
Really?
Yes.
Minnesota, I think, lost 39-0 to Northwestern this weekend.
Just the first half. I think they're going to cover the first half. And then you got West Virginia, Oklahoma. West Virginia can make it a shootout. That'd be interesting. Clemson at South Carolina. South Carolina is not bad. They're just off the radar a little bit.
It feels like Clemson is the most quiet Final Four team. Do you remember one thing they've done this year?
No. I remember watching their defensive line in a few games. And
yes. They almost killed Jared Sittum of Auburn, speaking of him.
I wish the Bears could just draft the entire defensive line of Clemson. I could definitely see Clemson losing that game. If I was picking one upset this weekend, I would take South Carolina beating Clemson outright.
South Carolina? They never win a game like this.
Right. And that's why you got to... That's the only one I see.
I'd be so disappointed if it wasn't like, I need a good debate, a 4 or 5, like somebody like Wisconsin's got to cause a problem. If it's Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Alabama, oh, and Miami, oh, okay, we could have some good stuff.
And don't forget, because of Thanksgiving, there's a Thursday night game, Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Then you got Friday, you got games all day on Friday, which is a great invention.
Yeah. You know, one time I covered the Ole Miss, Mississippi State Thanksgiving game.
Really? The Egg
Bowl. I was in Starkville. On Thanksgiving, it was the most depressing Thanksgiving of my entire life.
You're peripatetic.
So I'm going to start at leisure, and approve, not approve, where we look over the headlines and we approve them or not approve them.
It's new.
Whoever gets home field with the Patriots and the Steelers, who are both 8-2 right now, will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Whoever gets home field out of those two teams will be in the Super Bowl. Approve or not approve?
Not approve. If the Steelers are away, they're in trouble. If the Steelers are at home, they have a good chance, but not a great chance to beat the Patriots.
Wow. I disagree with you. I think the Steelers win that game at home. I think they're actually a better team than the Patriots.
I don't think the Steelers' offensive line is that great. I watched them the other day. I'm going to break down some offensive line play like nobody's business. I didn't think they were moving people off the ball. And I'm not an expert on run play, run blocking, all that stuff. All I know is it didn't seem like Le'Veon Bell had any room to move. Now, going against the front seven of the Patriots, it may not be that big of a deal because there's not a bunch of killers over there.
Right. Well, their defense started off really bad. It's actually picked up a lot lately. But yeah, right. Who scares you on the Patriots defensive line? You just killed your own point.
I did kill my own point. I'm a point killer.
I think whoever gets home field wins that. All right, Paul, you're up.
All right. Leisureman approved, not approved. I'm really concerned about Bills rookie quarterback Nate Peterman as a person.
Explain.
Well, he had 5 picks in the first half of the game. He's a national punchline. And I'm not just saying this because we know him a little bit and he's been on the Leisureman Show. He made his rookie debut under weird circumstances, taking over a good team who had a pretty decent quarterback at Tyrod Taylor. He goes in, he threw 5 picks. He's one of the top trending topics over the past 4 hours in our entire country. And there's a lot of things going on. They're going to show all 5 picks all over sports media tonight. He is going to become a household sports name tonight based on futility. If somehow he doesn't get a lot of chances to play in the league again as a 5th-round pick, I don't want this following him around forever.
Yeah.
Again, he's 23 years old. It may not go away. But let me tell you something. Here's why I bring this up. I was at a UConn pep rally thing at BC the other day. I was up at BC, and there's a UConn bar. They had a bar that they basically rented out for UConn fans. There's probably 3,000 UConn fans upstairs and downstairs at this bar.
Wow.
It's huge.
Women's basketball?
It was men's college football.
Oh, okay.
BC UConn, nice. Yeah. And they were doing this event. There's an MC, and they're getting all the UConn fans fired up. And they brought out Dan Orlovsky, who was a very good UConn quarterback, probably the best in their history, and had, I think, a 12- or 13-year NFL career, Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
When you think of Dan Orlovsky, what do you think of?
Of course, stepping out of the back of the end zone.
I think everyone, if you Google Dan Orlovsky, you think of one thing. During a game where he was filling in, I think, with the Lions, he was rolling out of the back of the end zone and took like 5 steps on the end line and was out of bounds and was still looking downfield. And that, unfortunately, is kind of his claim to fame.
100%. It's called an Orlovsky. There was actually a play today where a guy almost stepped out of the end of the back of the end zone, and everyone, I think the guy even mentioned Dan Orlovsky, of course.
The guy played from 2005 to 2015 in the NFL. He, you know, that's an accomplishment. He only won 2 games, but he's known for that one clip. I would hate for Nate Peterman for this to be his moment.
Okay. You're right, but you got to remember, okay, the first pick, for example, he just hit the fullback right in the hands and it bounced up. And then every other hit, he was getting crushed and just literally every hit, he's just getting crushed and throwing the ball up in the air.
Okay. But if somehow he becomes a career backup.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he didn't play the second half to boost those numbers up where he had 7 or 8 picks.
I'm glad they pulled him out for that exact reason.
I think we look at these people as commodities and don't realize they actually have lives to lead after we move on from them.
I don't feel that way. They get paid so much money that they don't care. They don't care. You ever talk to a player, you think they care about what we think about them? They care about their salary.
I agree with that. As long as they can take care of their family, they'll deal with not being great.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. It does bug them. I don't think they don't even take wins and losses like we do. Look at the guys on the field after the game. They're smiling and laughing, which brings me to my next approved, not approved. Not only should Saquon Barkley not play in the bowl game for Penn State, the star running back, he should have shut it down already. He has running back is such a wear and tear position, and he is, you know, by all reports, going to be a top pick because he's very versatile. He should have shut it down.
Before I approve or disapprove this, are you saying Saquon Barkley should have shut it down during the regular season and chose to not play any more games once they were not eligible after they lost those two in a row?
Should have been his last game.
That would be, that's uncharted territory. Uncharted.
But
uncharted?
It's the way they're trending. Hey, Christian McCaffrey.
But those are real games. Those are real games. I can't roll with you on this one. If you skip the last two games of the year for Penn State, like, hey, we're done. I'm out.
You're right, probably.
I think that's too ugly.
I guess so, but
you have a point because there's nothing for him to play for. All he's doing is endangering his pro prospects.
Okay, so he's got right now 1,057 yards, 14 TDs, 3 receiving TDs, 600 receiving yards. Now, he was the Heisman favorite. He has Maryland next week. Say he runs for 300 yards, which is possible. He's done that many times. He's gone over 200 many times. Any chance he sneaks into the conversation?
He'll be there on Heisman night. Saquon Barkley will be sitting there in a suit, and he'll get blown out by Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let me ask you real quick before we break. If you're the head coach of Penn State, James Franklin, in the bowl game where Saquon Barkley is playing, do you use him normally, or do you use him as a little bit of a decoy, give him a few carries to satisfy the fans, and then move on with your life and not endanger him?
Yeah, so they're not going to be in the Final Four picture. No, I would not play him a ton.
I agree. Leishman approved because him being drafted in the top three for you is great for recruiting.
Oh, 100%. And everybody says Saquon's the greatest kid. And James Franklin, by the way, has had a real renaissance there. He was in trouble. Now he's one of the best coaches in the country.
He's on a good run. I got a food issue.
What's your problem here?
We were down rating the Football Night in America buffet. Those guys do a fantastic job. And when I say those guys, I don't mean Dan Patrick or Rodney Harrison and those guys. I mean the people who put out the buffet for the Football Night in America crew that we kind of hijack every week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a situation where there's a lot of different foods, and you could read on the little sheet what the food is, but it's not in front of each little tray. So there was a tray of food that looked like grilled chicken breasts, and then there was a tray that was like pork loin. But the grilled chicken breasts had this kind of a orangey, spicy color with some green stuff on top, like parsley and onions. And this young lady goes, what is that? And the guy next to her goes, I don't know. And he leaned in to smell it, and his face got really close to the food.
Dude, I have some of that on my...
No, but you
I was on a different part?
You're a different area, but you got to be real careful. Buffet etiquette is really intense. You have to be careful how you place the food, the tongs and everything, using your fork. Yeah, there's a lot going on down there.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not sure that that's not perch. I'm looking at it, too. I know what that woman was talking. Did you try the chicken yet?
Hold on, I'll try it.
All right. It is a perch chicken situation. Is it fish or chicken? Fair nor foul? Fish nor foul?
That's definitely chicken. It's nice. A little oniony.
All right, good. Yeah. You know, it's kind of an odd situation for me. I had pork for lunch, and now I'm doubling up on pork for dinner.
Pork's good for you. Puts in a good mood.
Yeah. No, this is not really, by the way, you told me it was a Thanksgiving theme. I'm not really feeling a Thanksgiving theme.
There was squash down there. I thought that's Thanksgiving-ish. By the way, I have a Leishman approved, not approved. People really don't like turkey that much, but they're afraid to say so because they're upsetting the Thanksgiving process.
See, Paulie, no.
Of course, you know the answer is approved.
No, it's not approved. Dude, everybody loves turkey.
No, they don't.
You. Everybody loves. Turkey's amazing with gravy. Turkey is a great food.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat at a Thanksgiving dinner with bone dry turkey, just slathered with, you know, average gravy just to get it done.
Well, then you're not at the right Thanksgiving meals.
That's probably true.
All right. We got to get people to call in on this one. This is ridiculous.
Okay,
how can you be anti-turkey?
If anyone listening to this radio show truly does not like Thanksgiving dinner because of the turkey itself, I love the sides. I'll eat stuffing till my eyes pop out.
Right.
Anything else just about, I'm good. Occasionally, I have a great turkey, but usually it's about once every 3 years. All right. Leishman approved, not approved. Dale Earnhardt Jr., the NASCAR driver who retired today, is the most beloved athlete in our country over the past 15 years and today.
I don't have any numbers, but I'm going to not approve.
Who would you say is more beloved? Here's my junior case. the entire sport of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. He has a huge fan base, mm-hmm. a national fan base that he inherited from his father. They like him. He always does the right thing. Pretty good with the fans. Great interview. He's had a good, not great NASCAR career. Never won the title. Won a couple of Daytona 500s and a lot of races. But his fan base is dedicated to that family. And he comes off as a pretty well-liked guy. Now, I know his fan base is NASCAR. It's not as big as LeBron James or Tom Brady. But for every person you could find that loves Tom Brady, I could find someone who really can't stand him.
Right, but I feel like the NFL and NBA, LeBron and Tom Brady, there's just maybe more fans. So the overall numbers, the percentage is higher with Junior, but the overall number I think might take you over the top.
Brady's beloved in the New England area. I was up at BC yesterday, and there's every third dude has a Tom Brady jersey on, and then there's an Edelman.
Oh, totally. I mean, yeah, I was walking around New York. I saw a bunch of Brady. But I think LeBron in particular is more beloved.
Beloved.
He's number one in...
Revered.
A lot of people love him. I know there's people in the media who don't like him, but like generally there are a lot of kids that love LeBron.
I never thought that Michael Jordan was beloved. I always thought that he was admired for his dominance.
No, I think I love Jordan. If you're young, you love those guys.
I grew up in Chicago, and he never came off as one of our guys. He never came off as a Chicago guy. I know it sounds weird, but I always felt like he was this global icon that was doing his work in Chicago.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like we loved watching Jordan. Like,
love watching him play and loving him are two different things. Like, who's a beloved figure? Is Ron Jaworski a beloved figure in
Philadelphia
sports?
A notch below because he never won the big one. But yeah, he was pretty. Dr. J was the most beloved figure.
Okay,
by far. Iverson's pretty beloved. Randall Cunningham's pretty beloved. But I mean, Dr. J was a giant figure. Mike Schmidt. But you're right; those guys were beloved. And then you're talking about Jordan being respected and sort of feared.
Yeah.
More not like, feared, but you know what I mean.
He was the world's, not Chicago's, it felt like.
Yeah, but Junior, I'd like to see. There's a way to quantify this. I mean,
like a Q rating or something.
Yeah, I pulled up, for example, the world's most marketable athletes, and it just makes no sense.
NASCAR doesn't go overseas. So yeah, Junior's not.
Right, exactly. But they had Anthony Joshua's number one on the list, the heavyweight champion out of England.
So I think they do this thing with Q rating where it's the amount of people polled. Do you have a positive or negative view of this athlete? And I think Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, there's going to be a lot of people who don't care at all about NASCAR. He's just going to be like, I know who he is. I have no thoughts on him.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see a lot of ambivalence.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron is pretty beloved. I mean, I know that he has detractors for sure. I feel like there's more in the media. But it's an interesting question. I definitely think Junior is more popular than any NASCAR driver in my generation.
I'll bet you there's not an athlete on earth who has more tattoos related to him on people's bodies. There are people who have, between his father and him, more his father than him. Go down to a NASCAR race, you'll see a Dale Earnhardt 3 on a lot of people's bodies.
Now, his father was, of course, even like wildly more popular than him, right?
He was more dominant. He was more like, that's the baddest guy in the sport. Yeah. And he looked the part. He acted the part. He looked like a race car driver who didn't want any part of that corporate stuff. He just wanted to kick people's butts.
Yeah, I mean, as a casual NASCAR fan, he was like the Babe Ruth of the sport. Like, he was just so much bigger than the sport.
What do you got? Any leftovers? Okay.
Leisureman approved, not approved. The Sixers are a real threat right now. Now, so they scored 40 to come out of the East. They're a threat. I'm not saying that they're a favorite. I'm saying they're in the mix. Now, okay, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have gotten better every single game of the year. Ben Simmons in particular. They play very well together. Now, the East is shaping up to be super funny because, you know, maybe this is a stupid thing, but the Celtics are now the favorite. But the Celtics are younger than the Sixers. Now, and the Cavs seem to be imploding on themselves. So unless you think the Cavs are the surefire going to run away with it, then there are a lot of teams that it opens up to.
I'm not going to approve that, but I like what you're saying. I think the Sixers are a good team, and they are a matchup nightmare with their two star players. They're going to be very tough to deal with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid if they're both healthy. I'm not all in on the Celtics because of their youth.
That's what I'm saying. That's sort of really what I should have gone.
Right.
I don't feel like the Celtics are a strong favorite right now.
Like the Wizards, I'm sorry, the Cleveland Cavaliers are 9-7. The Celtics are 15-2. I would still right now in a bet with my money, I would put my money on the Cavaliers to go further in the playoffs than the Celtics because of the experience and the pacing. Look, I love watching the Celtics. They're a really good time these days. that there's a difference between liking watching them play and believing they'll go further far in the playoffs. And I'm still going to defer. It's very similar to Tom Brady. I'm going to defer to Brady until he's proven wrong. I'm going to defer to LeBron until he's proven wrong.
That's a great point. There was a point on Saturday night where the Warriors were down by 30 to the Sixers. The Celtics were down by 20 to the Hawks. And everyone's like, what has happened? The Celtics are finally going to blow their streak. Of course, they come back and house the Hawks. The Warriors, what they did was unbelievable to come back against the Sixers.
One thing that bothers me, I was watching the Rockets the other day, and it's the James Harden show completely, even with Chris Paul. Chris Paul is just finishing out the string there. He's a nice player, but he doesn't really affect things that big of a deal. I think it's going to be the same story again with the Houston Rockets. James Harden is unbelievable, but can he, when he's in April and he's been playing all these minutes and being the focal point, at some point he's going to get roughed up, not injured, but just worn out, and Golden State's going to have four or five guys who could do what he does. Not to that level, but to take over games.
I totally agree with that. It's a great point. I don't know.
I mean, that's not anything big surprise. It's exactly what we saw last year with the Houston Rockets. James Harden was unreal, and then in the playoffs, you're like, whoa, I think he's all by himself out there.
Yeah, I mean, for that very reason, I'm not even sure he gets to the conference finals. I mean, someone could catch them early. They seem like a one-man team. Chris Paul hasn't been healthy. We'll see if he helps. But even, what's the upside of Chris Paul? I mean, I think you're going to have teams, the Warriors are just going to run you. You know who's playing well? The T-Wolves. Watch out for them. Very interesting team.
Here's why I like the T-Wolves. Not just Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's a very good player. He's not averaging as many points as he did. Usually Jimmy Butler's more of a 20-point-per-game guy. He's deferring his game. But then they've got backup guys like Jamal Crawford and Taj Gibson. They're good NBA players that get no run. Jamal Crawford has had a really good NBA career, a great NBA career, always coming off the bench. People, I don't even think, know that Jamal Crawford is a Timberwolf.
Oh,
you do.
Assumed. He does. I had no idea. He rotates from team to team. He gets a new team every year. Yeah, I mean, Taj Gibson and Jamal Crawford, come on. Yeah, we see them.
Oh, I think.
By the way, okay, there was a tweet from an SINBA writer saying he would take Jimmy Butler over Klay Thompson. I almost jumped into my screen to throttle him. What say you about that? We could save it.
I can't roll with that anyway. You don't have to save it.
Yeah.
I've seen the best of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
Klay Thompson's an all-timer.
He could take over a game like nobody business. Guinness. We are sponsored by Guinness. We are brought to you by Guinness the Leisureman. Don't forget, it's Thanksgiving week. Plan your Thanksgiving week, not just the food. Get some Guinness in you. And don't think that Guinness is just Guinness Draft. Go to your local package store, Rye Pale Ale and Torpen Stout, Guinness Blonde, all the good stuff that they have. Pack it away. If you have to, hide a few for yourself in the back of the fridge. Just remember, you really got to hide it well. I mean, put some really bad products in front of it. Some like old jars of salsa. Don't be an amateur at Thanksgiving. Hide your Guinness well. Share some with your guests, but hide some for you.
Not much. Just a little bit. I mean, I know the holiday's all about giving, but it's also about hiding great beer from your family.
Now, I had a hot take earlier in the show that said I'm not that big of a fan of turkey overall. I don't really like turkey. I know it's good for you. I know sometimes on Thanksgiving it can be made well. We had a turkey dinner made for us by some expert cooks recently.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Now, what was that style called again, Paul?
Spatchcocking.
Oh, you'd love saying that.
Let's take a call from TJ in New Orleans. Your thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm going to have to side with Paulie on this one. Not the biggest fan of holiday turkey.
Oh.
Like
Tell me why, TJ.
It's usually drier. You know, like, I'm a fan of cold-cut turkey, but for some reason, holiday turkey is usually dry. Like, I'm more of a honey-baked ham type of guy. I don't know.
TJ, let me tell you this story. A bunch of years ago, I was in charge of Thanksgiving dinner, and my sister and my mom came over. And my mom said she'll make whatever I bring to the place we were having dinner. She was going to cook it. I would buy it. And I bought barbecue ribs. I bought ribs. And I had my mom make ribs for Thanksgiving dinner. I caught a lot of heat that Thanksgiving from people. But when they were eating these ribs, everyone went crazy. What are your thoughts?
Ribs? I think ribs would be a better substitute than turkey, to be honest. I don't want to be this big holiday stickler, but yeah, man, I've just never been a fan of holiday turkey, man.
TJ in New Orleans. By the way, is that restaurant I love, Cochon, still down there in New Orleans? I love that place.
Oh, yeah, Cochon's, talk about some good ribs.
Oof, man, that's fantastic. TJ, good to have you on, man. Thanks for backing me. Keep calling into the show. We'd love to have you.
Dude, you guys just go, Paul, you should come with me to Philadelphia, deal with some Perloff family craziness.
I think I would actually like to go to see another crazy family than mine. Mine's actually kind of sedate. You know, I don't have any problems.
I got to tell you, though, we have good, you know, my brother-in-law's Filipino, puts it in a deep fryer.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's good. You're right. And now that, you know, we have Traeger grills and stuff, I think that more evolved turkey could change your take.
I think there's a lot of traditional bland turkey making going on. All right. Another topic. This is our movie segment. We talk about movies that are going on in history. But we're going to do a special themed Ode to Thanksgiving movies, Perloff. You and I have been doing hours of research on some of the great Thanksgiving movies of our time. Now, I found a couple of different websites that listed the great Thanksgiving movies of all time. And 90% of these movies have nothing to do with Thanksgiving. Yeah. There is some little tidbit of Thanksgiving that's in each of them. Home Alone is listed on this list. Home Alone's around Christmas.
Yeah, half of these are Christmas movies.
They even say, like, yeah, but he has a dinner that looks like a Thanksgiving dinner. Rocky. Rocky and Adrian had their first date on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, oh, at the ice skating rink.
Right. You're going to shoehorn that into
that. That is not a Thanksgiving movie.
Let's see what else they got. Miracle on 34th Street, which actually starts on Thanksgiving, but is...
Oh, right.
Look, if this were a movie draft, Christmas owns Miracle on 34th Street.
100%. 100%. It's a Santa movie.
A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving that's animated doesn't count. It's great, doesn't count.
Yeah, I have to watch that every year. It's pretty good.
Look at this. The Big Chill, 1983. A group of friends reunite after one of their close college friends commits suicide, including a Thanksgiving-esque feast. It's not Thanksgiving, I don't think.
There's not a lot of things. I love that movie, though. They're all Michigan fans.
It may have been around Thanksgiving because the Michigan-Ohio State game was going on that Saturday.
You know what? It could be Thanksgiving. We have to look into that. By the way, that's a great movie because there are all these like sort of intellectual yuppie types from the 80s, but they're so into Michigan football that I respect that. I
respect that part that they really had to watch a Michigan game. But I can't make Big Chill a Thanksgiving movie. Now, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1987, Steve Martin, John Candy. This is a true movie about Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving theme is all... It's a travel movie. It's a buddy movie.
It's a travel movie and a buddy movie first.
Okay. But if you said, what holiday is this based around? I think everyone would know it's Thanksgiving.
Yes, but do they even have a Thanksgiving meal?
Yes, at the very end, Del Griffith comes back and eats with him at the very, very end.
Oh, they show one scene of them at the table? I remember they're walking in with the trunk. Oh, man, I might have cried when I first saw
And this
that.
Is John Hughes, right?
I think so, yes.
There's got to be a John Hughes movie. I wanted to talk about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but I get a little bummed at this movie. This is an emotional movie, I think.
Very sad.
I find it very depressing.
Very depressing. You just brought me back there with that, talking about the final scene.
If you haven't seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it's an old movie from the 80s. Steve Martin and John Candy, that's perfect casting, the two people they cast in this movie.
I can't imagine anyone else being in it.
There's some laugh-out-loud moments. There's some slapstick moments. And then there's some really hard-hitting, disturbing life moments in the movie. I get emotional watching that movie because I think John Candy crushed that movie and should have been nominated for a Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, 100%. He was born to play sort of, because there's a loneliness in John Candy. By the way, wouldn't you say, I would say disturbing.
No.
More just like kind of sad.
Sad.
Right, there's nothing like scary disturbing.
Yes, not disturbing.
But you know how funny people are secretly kind of quiet and sad inside? That seems like John Candy in this movie. He just has that character down.
Oh, yeah. That is, I would watch that movie anytime it's on.
Yeah, and there are some very, very funny scenes. Not to give anything away, but when the deer comes back to life, oh, my God. And then the top of the car gets ripped off. Oh, those two scenes.
Yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is very underrated for one-liners that dudes from the 80s use. Like, you're going the wrong way. Yeah. And how does he know where we're going? That's a classic guy line. Yeah.
Those aren't pillows.
And then you move your hand out of wherever you are. Or, what's the temperature outside? And he goes, one. Remember they're in the back of the truck riding along? Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie, this is a really tough segment, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, full recommendation.
Yeah. Did you find any other Thanksgiving movies, by the way? I'm striking out.
I'm going to shoehorn in Funny People with Adam Sandler.
No. I saw that on the list.
I know. They do have a Thanksgiving dinner.
You just want to talk about Funny People because you like that movie.
I do like that a lot.
Yeah. It's very good. Adam Sandler, by the way, he might be in the Oscar discussion.
Yes.
This new movie.
Meyerowitz Stories?
Yeah. I saw the scenes with him in it. He's unbelievable. Very similar to Funny People.
I'm going to watch it this week on Netflix.
Yeah. And you got to watch, too, Jim and Andy, the behind the scenes of Man
What's
on the Moon.
What's that about?
So Jim Carrey made The Man on the Moon about Andy Kaufman in 1999. He has all this footage behind the scenes that they held. There was a sort of the making of the movie. He went into full method as Andy Kaufman for maybe 10 weeks.
And they have film of him off camera?
Off camera. Now, the company apparently hid the film because they didn't want Jim Carrey to look unlikable because he was such a tyrant on set. And it's but just I'm not going to give away too much. Jim Carrey sits down for 45 minutes of interviews to talk about it.
I find him fascinating, and I think we just scratched the surface on Jim Carrey.
So I was watching it late night Friday night, and I was going to text you at like 11 o'clock, but I'm like, you know what? Paulie might be asleep. I don't want to wake him up for this. And it slipped my mind. I wanted you to watch this so bad so we could talk about it.
I was probably watching some Mac football game. By the way, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, directed by John Hughes, written by John Hughes, Steve Martin, John Candy, and a mishmash of other people. But, you know, John Hughes does it again. He's one of our favorites. You know that.
Oh, man. He is everything he touches, and a Chicago guy, he must mean a little extra.
Absolutely. He defined Chicago movies in the 80s and 90s. That was a fun show, Pearl. Now,
learned a lot, Paulie.
Yeah. What's the plans for Thanksgiving this year?
I'm going to be in Philly hearing about how great the Eagles and the Sixers are. It is all sports all the time, which I'm pretty looking forward to.
When you're at Thanksgiving dinner, do you ever have the feeling of guilt of all the preparation time compared to the consumption time? Because it's usually about a 12-to-1 ratio. Probably takes 5 hours to prepare the meal and 22 minutes to house it.
Yeah, so I have never helped making the meal. I just don't do a darn thing. And you know how fast I eat. So I'll be on, by the time everyone gets to their, done with their, gets their plate and sit at the table, I'm already on my second helping. I don't mess around come Thanksgiving.
How do you deal with being the football guy at Thanksgiving dinner and people asking you football questions who don't really know football? And I can see by the look on your face you have, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I try to be alone. I really do. It's totally antisocial.
That's
gutsy. No, dude, you just rip that Band-Aid, you go in the little side room, you close the door, and you say, come find me if you want, but I'm watching Oregon State, Oregon.
I may try that this year, because what happens is I have a couple brothers-in-law? Whatever.
No one knows.
They don't know anything about sports, and what happens is I sit there, and let's say the Lions are playing the Bears on Thanksgiving, whoever the team is. I'm like, Bears, huh? How they doing? And they're awful. They don't know one player in the Bears. And they're like, Lions, Barry Sanders still on the team? I'll get one of those for my brother-in-law.
I know. Nobody better mess with the Lions play the Vikings this week, Case Keenum. Like, if my family tries to get in, that's an early game, too. If they try and get in there during Keenum time, there's going to be a problem.
Like, one of my brother-in-law would say, Lions, purple uniforms. Are those new? It's going to be a tough Thanksgiving.
A tough holiday. A tough year.
We'll make it through. Word of Leisureman. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Back soon.